Well, let us open God's Word together to Matthew's Gospel and the 11th chapter. We began looking at the verses 25 to 30 last Lord's Day evening. I thought that we would get through those verses, but we had two main points in that message, and that was the doctrine of the call, which we have in the second three verses, and then the delivery of the call that we have in verses 28 to 30. So we looked at the doctrine of the call, and really the idea was that we stressed on the Lord's Day evening was that the doctrine of election, rather than being something that inhibits or takes away from the call of the gospel, in fact underpins and promotes the call of the gospel. Because I'm not sure how clear we said this on the Lord's Day evening, but in the call of the gospel, we are actually seeking the elect, we are seeking the lost sheep, we are seeking those whom God is calling to himself. So our call is not, and the call of Christ in this passage is not in some sort of hope that people will change and that people will convert themselves, but in the call itself, the power is, and the power of Christ is revealed in the call. So we looked at that last Lord's Day evening, the doctrine of the call, or the doctrine that is the foundation for the call, and now we're going to look at verses 28 to 30 under the heading the delivery, the actual delivery of the call of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verses 28 to 30 read, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Do you feel weary this evening? Quite often, especially in the midweek service, I don't know about you, but I've had an exceptionally busy day. I rose from bed at 7 a.m. this morning, and I've really not stopped going since that time. And we come here at the end of the day, and we're weary. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is calling out to those who feel the burden and feel the weight, not only of the physical realities of this world, but much more, as we'll see in our text. We've got 7 points we want to look at. The first one is the direction of the call. The call is, and this is foundational, it is, "Come unto me." The direction of the call is to come to Christ. It is not, as Spurgeon says, come to his members or his church or anything else, but the call is personal. Come to Christ. And brethren, this is not just a call for the unconverted. This is a call for all believers. Tonight, we are not just coming to a meeting, or at least that should not be the case. It should be the case that we are actually coming by being here afresh to the Lord Jesus himself. God directs us to him. Christ himself directs sinners to himself, and we must do the same. But notice again, as Spurgeon says, it is not only a personal call to come to Christ, it is a present. It is come now. Do not wait. In other words, we're not to say, well, I'll see how well the sermon goes. No, there should be even a desire now in my heart to come to Christ. That should be throughout not only the service, but also in all of life. How can I seize the moment now to come to Christ? Spurgeon notes, thirdly, it's so sweet an invitation that it demands spontaneous acceptance. Imagine for a moment if some well-known person invited you to dinner or to their home, you would just want immediately to respond. Well, here, none less than the Son of God says to all who feel the weight and the burden, not only of this world physically, but also spiritually in their soul, to come now. And that deserves, as Spurgeon says, an instant, spontaneous acceptance. But then again, as Spurgeon says, he puts the matter very exclusively. Do nothing else but come to him. In other words, we are not to imagine in our minds that God will be pleased with anything else but coming to Christ. If you are doing anything else in your heart and soul now, but earnestly desiring to come close to Jesus Christ, you are failing at the one point that God, and the one place where God wants you to be. Nothing else matters but coming to Christ. Nothing else is needful. Luke chapter 10, isn't it? The end verses. I think it's verses 38 to 42 from memory. Nothing else matters but being close to Jesus Christ. It's not about being religious. It's not about pacifying God. It's not about pacifying your conscience. It's about approaching him. It's about coming to him. So how close are we to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening? As we said on the Lord's Day, could we say, no matter what else, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee? Yes, we have failed. Yes, we have failed even this hour. But the one thing that we can say with honest heart and honest conviction, that we love the Lord. Secondly, the recipients of the call. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. So we first of all say that this is not a call to everyone. The call of the gospel is not to all men. And we defend that by, or should I say, the effectual call of the gospel is not to all men. The effectual call, or the call that is to be responded to, is to those who feel the weight and the burden of this world, of their sin, and feel their need for Christ. So Christ is not here calling everybody. He is calling a specific and qualified group of people. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I mean, if you don't feel the weight of your sin, if you don't feel the burden of your lostness, Christ is not calling you. That's the bottom line, isn't it? If you think you are okay, well then Christ is walking past you. If you think that you are managing well enough and you are, you know, it's not that difficult, I can get on, thank you very much, well then Christ is not calling you. We said Lord's Day evening that he came not to call the righteous, not to call the strong, not to call the sufficient or those who feel sufficient, but he's come for the weak. He's come for the sinner. He's come for those who know that they need him. Again, let's apply this to our own souls tonight. Do I feel my need for Christ? Or am I just getting on with things myself? Have I been brought to the bottom of myself, to the end of myself, so that I know that I can't do it? That I can't bear this burden any longer. That this yoke that is on me is beyond my strength to bear in myself. Well, if that is how you feel, then Christ is calling you. Daniel mentioned to me John Gill's commentary on this portion. And let me just read the few words of John Gill on this. Meaning, or this, on these words, meaning not these who are laboring in the service of sin and Satan, are laden with iniquity and insensible of it. These are not the weary of sin, nor burdened with it, nor do they want or desire any rest for their souls. But to such who groan, being burdened with the guilt of sin upon their consciences. Is that how you feel? Sin burdening your conscience? Are you weighed down with your sin? Then Christ is calling you. They're pressed down, says Gill, with the unsupportable yoke of the law and the load of human traditions, and have been laboring till they are weary in order to obtain peace of conscience and rest for their souls by the observance of these things, but in vain. There are many religious people who are seeking to please God, seeking to pacify God, seeking to be acceptable to God. And Christ is saying, if you've come to the point of realizing that you know that you're not able to do this, then come to me. Flee the weight of your own self-righteousness. Flee the weight of your own works, of your own efforts, of your own vain attempts to please me. Are you laboring? Are you heavy laden? Are you borne down by these things? Just remember in Acts 15, and the 10th verse, I think it is, where the apostles say to the Judaizing ones in the midst of the church, that they are seeking, that you are seeking to put a burden on the necks of the disciples, or a yoke on the necks of the disciples, that neither we nor our forefathers were able to bear. That's exactly the same principle. Christ is saying, do you know that you cannot do this? We know, brethren, don't we, that there will be a strong population of hell filled with religious people. People who never came to Christ. People who lived their lives thinking that they just had to do so much and so on to please God. And Christ said, flee that. That's a burden that you can't bear. That's a weight that will not only sink you in this world, that's a weight that will sink you into hell itself. And the only solution is to know the weight of your burden and then to come to me with that burden. Thirdly, the promise of the call. Isn't it wonderful? And I will give you rest. How much of the rest of Christ do we know? I mean, are we resting as believers in Him this evening? Are we resting in Him? Do I know the sensation, literally, of resting in Christ? Of literally, in that sense of saying, Lord, I have given it all to you. You have borne my weight. You have borne my cross. You have borne my sin. Or am I trying to convince myself that I can go on and I will manage? One commentator asks the question, or answers the question, what kind of rest? And he gives three kinds. First of all, rest in your conscience from the dread of divine wrath. Tonight, are you afraid of the judgment of God? Then come to Christ. If you're afraid of the judgment of God, come to Christ. Don't seek to please God in yourself or in your works. Come to Christ. Secondly, rest in the will from its former corrupt propensities. In other words, it's only when we truly come to Christ that we will begin to see a change in our love for sin. It won't happen immediately. We won't suddenly become perfect. But the more we come to Him, the more we will lose the love of sin. You see, when we walk away from Christ, when we depart from Him, we start to love sin more. Here's the principle, brethren. It's impossible to be with Christ and to love sin. It's impossible to be close to Him, truly close to Him in our hearts, and love sin. And when we come to Him, genuinely come to Christ, we will begin to know the liberation of not loving sin. I mean, none of us here tonight wants to sin. And the only way to flee sin is to come to Christ. And then he says, thirdly, heavenly rest for the people of God. The Bible says that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Do you want to have the assurance of heavenly rest? Well, then the answer is come to Christ. Come unto me. Not come to church. Yes, come to church is important. But come to me. Seek me. Don't seek religion. Don't seek anything else. Seek me alone. And that's why the terrible judgment on that day will be, depart from me, for I never knew you. The one thing that should fill all our desires is that Christ would know me. That He would not be able to ignore me. That I would be convinced in this world, not just that I believe things about Christ. I'm reading one of those chapel library booklets at the moment. I just finished the one on the deity of Christ, and I'm now reading the one on the Trinity. And I can know all sorts of things about the divinity of Christ and the deity of Christ and about the Trinity. But does that God know me? Does Christ know me? Because that's what matters on the day of judgment. And I need to make it my life's goal that I am convinced that Christ knows me. And that Christ is delivering me from that burden, from the pain of sin, from all that sin that I can't seem to stop committing. And it's only coming to Him that will deliver us. It's only His Spirit, the same Spirit that delivers us from the penalty of sin, that will save us from the power of sin, and one day from the presence of sin. You see, it's coming to Christ, isn't it? It's not me, you know, brushing up my life. Can't do it, brethren. Brothers and sisters, we cannot do it. I know this by painful experience. Because we're all sort of self-righteous religious people at the end of the day, aren't we? And we seem to constantly default. And this is what Galatians is all about. The main message of the book of Galatians is that it's we will constantly slip back to saying, well, I need to do this and I need to do that in order to be at peace with God. No, no, we come to Christ. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Fourthly, the process required in response to the call. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, what's the yoke of Christ? This is, I suppose, there's various ideas. Well, one of the ideas I like, and again, I'm not going to say this is definitive, but you know, the yoke was designed often to take two, and the yoke would be put over two oxen. They were called a yoke of oxen, two oxen together. We are first and foremost to be united to Christ, one with him, so that it's not Christ bearing his yoke and me bearing my yoke. It is being one with Christ, and in that there is rest. You see, the people in the day of the Lord Jesus, they were all trying to do it their own way. They knew what the law said. They knew what the Pharisees were saying. And they were just trying. They were taking this yoke of the burden of the law and religious observance. And Christ just says, become one with me. Take my yoke. Come to me and take my yoke. Be joined to me. See, the devil is really happy with anything less than that. The only thing the devil really doesn't want is for you to be one with Christ, for you to be in union with him. Anything other than that, the devil is satisfied. Then we have the pattern provided. For I am meek and lowly in heart. As one commentator says, this is one of the rare times when the Lord Jesus Christ describes what he is like. I am meek and lowly in heart. If you read through Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12, I believe it is, the Beatitudes. And you know, you read, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, and so on. Do you know, a lot of religious people miss the main point of that? They think what Christ is giving is a list of things that if you just live up to this, you'll be okay. No, no, he is describing himself. Because none of us ever become what the Beatitudes say. But when we become one with Christ, then we begin to take on his characteristics. Then and only then will we know what it means to some degree to truly mourn for sin, to truly be poor in spirit. And the work will begin inside, because once we take on the yoke of Christ and become one with Christ, the wonderful thing that happens is that we begin to take on his character from the inside out. It's no longer me trying to do my best to be a good Christian. Look at chapter 12 of Matthew, just over the page. And again, the Lord Jesus describes himself. Matthew 12, just verses 18 and 19. It's quoting from the prophet. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. There's a wonderful link here. Christ talks about bearing his yoke, and the yoke is upon. I will put my spirit upon him. You see, taking the yoke of Christ is not just about outward performance. It is sharing in the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God that was upon Christ. That Spirit comes upon us. That's powerful. When the Spirit of God, and it's the same Spirit that empowered Christ, and when we bear that yoke, brethren, that is not what human religion can supply. Look at verse 19. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break. We thank God for that, don't we? Listen, if you're a bruised reed here tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is not here to break you. He is here to lift your burden. And smoking flax, if you, even to use the other analogy, if I just have the faith of a mustard seed, the Lord Jesus Christ will not crush that. I think over the years I often fell foul of the idea, well, I just need to improve. I just need to become a better Christian. That's the lie of the devil. That's not what we need. What we need is to come to him. What you need now, what I need now, even in your heart and mind now, is to come to Christ. To be one with him, to share in his Spirit. That's what we need. Anything less than that is a lie. Then the promise of the call, ye shall find rest. As I came in here this evening, I was wrecked physically. I was sitting there, and one thought came into my heart was, Lord, can I even preach tonight? I feel so tired. And in my weakness, I just thought of my bed. You know, I was just wanting to rest. But brethren, there's no greater rest than in coming to Christ. There is no greater rest. There's no greater comfort. There's no greater relief for your soul than in coming to Christ. Someone has put it this way, again answering the question that we asked earlier, what kind of rest? Someone has said, rest from legal servitude, rest from wrathful apprehensions, rest from carnal pursuits, rest from earthly anxiety, from forebodings. Whatever your problem is tonight in your heart, come to Christ. And you shall find rest unto your souls. And then finally, the pledge of the call. For my yoke is easy. Again, we looked at that a minute ago. The Spirit of God is the yoke of Christ. Oneness with him. Union with him. And my burden is light. Every other burden we have is a heavy weight. That's why Hebrews says, let us cast off these weights and these sins that just bear us down. And let us run with perseverance. Well, the only way, brethren, you can persevere is by coming moment by moment to Christ. Come to him now. Trust in him now. Love him now. Thomas Manton said, "The yoke of Christ will be more easy than we think, especially when it is lined with grace." Spurgeon, and we close with this, tells the story. "We well remember an old man who carried pails with a yoke. And as he was infirm and tender about the shoulders, his yoke was padded and covered with white flannel where it touched him. But what a lining is love. A cross of iron lined with love would never gall the neck, much less will Christ's wooden cross, lined with Christ's love to us, covered with our love to him. Truly, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Whenever the shoulder becomes sore, let us look to the lining. Keep the lining right, and the yoke will be no more a burden to us than wings are to a bird, or her wedding ring is to a bride. O love divine, line my whole life, my cares, my griefs, my pains, and what more can I ask? Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Amen.